Right now, more than ever, it is important to support creators whose content we enjoy. Despite loss of income for us due to COVID-19, we are still able to put out episodes thanks to our wonderful Patreons whose support during this time is deeply appreciated. We are extremely grateful to all of you and especially wanted to give a shout out to our I Don't Know Her tier Patreons, Evelyn, Vanessa A, Jen A, Marisol L, Daniel V, Bianca, Yasmin, Vincent C, Jason B, Christian, Valentina R, Miguel B, Cassandra G, Alana F, Linda M, Jocelyn D, Chris M, Nancy M, Magdalena S, Ronnie L, Guadalupe F, Jerry R, Abigail Naranja, Kimberly B, and Monica M. Thank you so much. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/bitterbrownfems, or you can also click the link in our description. And as a reminder, you can also support our work by not just listening, but rating and reviewing us on iTunes, and of course, sharing our content with all your friends. Now, let's start the show.
We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live!
Fuck it!
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
Yeah. 5, 4, 3.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is your host, Ruben, coming at you from Los Angeles.
Hi, and this is your other host, Cassandra, coming at you from El Paso, Texas.
And yeah, you know, this is like episode 2 or 3 of Quarantine Diaries. What is your update? I assume you're quarantining, or have you been out there protesting, girl, to liberate America or whatever?
Yeah, no, I'm not as brave as our white sisters. I wish I was, but I'm not. So they're out there fighting the good fight for liberation, to end this oppression. You know, I am living through them. I am fighting through them. They are currently doing push-ups to get our gyms reopened so we can all get back out there. They're currently at Baskin-Robbins, at Applebee's. You know, they're out there doing the good fight. So, thank you to our troops out there.
That was sarcasm, in case. Because then they're gonna, las van a draguear.
They're like, well, she does support Ted Cruz.
it's yeah, like, no.
What were we saying the other day? It's like day number, I don't know what, that we haven't heard anything from Ted Cruz, whether he survived quarantine or whether he's dead or dead.
It's like day 30 without Ted Cruz news. We should start a Ted Cruz watch.
Oh my god. But then all the right-wing people will be like, yes, where is Ted Cruz? Our hero.
Yeah.
Remember when Trump would like make fun of him all the time? Like, yeah. Nobody likes this guy. Anyway.
No, like, that's, I don't know. We should talk about, like, how populism, like, really helped Trump. Like, populism on the right, conservative populism, and how, like, liberals, like, fail to see and apply the lessons from Trump there to their own campaigns this year. Because they're just running a shit show. Like, Democrats are just gonna lose so bad this year.
Yeah, they stay losing.
Yeah, they're the opposite of Latinas, who stay winning.
Yep. Yeah, so what about you on your end? What's going on over there?
I'm like on quarantine day like 60, 60 something. Meanwhile, my family is on like quarantine day like -3. They've been going out more during quarantine than they've ever.
That is like everybody that I'm like when I take Luca to the park, like we, you know, he rides a scooter and I ride my bike, and it's like I like, because we do it all the time, even yeah, without quarantine, and I'm like, I have never seen any of you bitches out here, and all of a sudden everyone wants to walk, all of a sudden everyone has a dog. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, like, I don't understand. Like, I get so mad because, like, I have never seen that many people at that fucking park that I go to year-round, and it yeah, fucking annoys me.
My sisters had a huge fight, like, right before quarantine, right? They were essentially like, we have to stop meeting. Like, I fucking hate y'all. Like, we're not meeting anymore. And, like, I was trying to be peacekeeper and, like, whatever. But then, literally as soon as quarantine started, my sister was like, no, we need to see each other as a family, like, now more than ever. And I'm like, what? No, that's, like, literally the wrong message. Like, stay fighting. Like, that is a better approach to this quarantine, because they've been meeting every fucking week. Like, it's so annoying. Like, they've been going out more. Like, I'm the one that's, like, usually, like, you know, out at a club every other week, or, like, you know, at a concert once a month, something like that. And I've been staying my ass home. Like, I've gone to the store, like, 4 times this whole fucking quarantine, right? But their bitch has this fine, like, one reason or another to leave the house. My mother's like, oh, no, if we love each other, we have to see each other. I'm like, no, that's literally the opposite of what we have to be doing. But they don't fuck. I'm just like, if you love each other, don't you want to keep each other healthy? And, like, it does not compute. Like, they do not understand. Like, no, there's no explaining that goes on with them. And it's just so frustrating. So I've just been living with that frustration these last 2 months now, of, like, trying to get these people who, like, just refuse to listen to reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exhausting. I think my mom went through this thing where she took it serious for a hot second and then slowly started. And it's interesting because I think it's the way Texas is, what are they calling it, like, reopening in phases, which is so fucking ridiculous. Like, phase one, I don't know what was open, and then phase two is, like, this and nail salons, and phase three is, like, that's, like, the plan for Texas. And as that plan is, like, happening, I think people are also, like, going out more because they think, well, Texas is real, you know what I mean? So, like, now I can go here. And now, like, I think the other day, because my mom's church switched to, like, online whatever, and, like, I think yesterday I heard her talking about how they were talking and saying that they were going to reopen, and I'm just like, and you know her ass is gonna be there, so I'm just like, okay. It's just like, I've gone to the store because I didn't want her to go to the store, so I've gone to the store, and then I switched to, like, online. Like a week ago or so, like, I ordered online, you go pick it up and they bring it to your car. So there's, like, no contact. And the thing is, you have to, like, put in the order, like, 2 days prior, because you don't get it, like, the same day, right? And so she's, like, upset about that. Like, she wants it that day. So she's like, no, like, I'm not going to wait 2 days. So, like, her and my stepdad will go to the store instead of having me, like, just order it and, like, waiting those 2 days. And it's just like, I don't under, like, why? Like, it's, yeah. So, and I don't think it's just us. I see a lot of people saying, like, it's always, like, it's, like, one person that's taking it serious, and then everyone else is kind of, like, eh. Or what they think is, like, they're not, like, well, we're not, like, partying, and it's, like, no, you're not partying, but it's still the same, like, concept, you know? But I don't think people see it that way. And again, I think it's also, like, the way our government and officials are handling it, because if, unfortunately, you believe the governor of Texas, for example, that it's okay to reopen Texas and it's okay to get your nails done and it's okay to get a haircut, then, like, you're gonna think it's fucking okay.
Yeah. Well, see, in California, we don't have that fucking excuse, because the governors are telling people to stay home and blah, blah, blah. Except for, like, the OC's governor. I mean, the OC's a mayor, which is another fucking Klan member. But everybody else in California is, like, stay home. They're, like, trying to figure out how to get people to stay home. Like, you know, I will say, you know, if people had the money to just stay home, if they had canceled rent, like, we wouldn't have this problem, right? But, for example, like, when I tried dragging people who are out, it's not, like, essential workers. It's not people who are out of a job. Like, because I guarantee you more chances than not that the people who are most affected by this are not out there visiting their families and shit, right? But my family, like, most of us didn't lose our jobs, right? That's the kind of person I'm talking about. The kind of person that's not considerate, right? And that's most of my family. That's all of my family right now. They're, like, so fucking inconsiderate. And it's a lot of our families, too. Like, I see a lot of people being, like, you know, my mom isn't staying home, she won't listen to me, like, you know, it's for a lot of people, they're experiencing like a role reversal, right? Where their mom used to tell them not to go out and party, and but now they have to tell their mom not to go out to fucking church and shit. So on the one hand, yes, it's the government and all that. On the other hand, like, where does the line start with holding people like personally responsible for their actions? Like, yes, the government, yes, all of that, but also like, bitch, like, what? Like, nothing, like, you don't have like two brain cells to put together and be like, this idiot's telling me the wrong information, like, let me not put my family in danger, right? And so to me, like, I get it, like, I do get where people like try to, like, you know, defend like people that are going out and visiting families and all that, like, I fucking get it, but I also don't get it for everybody. Like, I don't think that's an excuse for everybody. Yeah,
definitely. And it's scary. It's scary times out there. But when, and then it's like when all the, I'm like terrified for the 4th of July. Like, we've been at, you know, this quarantine during some holidays. Like, I think, what was the first one? Like, Easter. And that was a big thing. Like, people were like, don't, like, the parks are closed. Like, you cannot go to the parks and have a cookout. But then a bunch of people got together with their families for Easter. And then we had Mother's Day recently, and it was the same thing. Like, people are still going to get together. They're still going to, you know, see their moms. And the next holiday coming up is the 4th of July, which is terrifying because that's like a party. That's like a party holiday, and that's a white holiday. So we'll...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're not
going to be like, my freedom! With their guns, rioting, fireworks. Oh,
and their little motorbikes, their dirt bikes, and their little jet skis that they rent. Yeah. You know the type of
those are the 4th of July bitches. Yeah.
The 4th of July bitches love their jet skis. They love their dirt bike. God. They love putting on Kid Rock and sipping on, like, you know, what's the bottom shelf whiskey?
I don't know
because I'm not that kind of girl, you know.
No, yeah, definitely. that's going to be a lot. But speaking of, Mother's Day was Sunday? Yes, last Sunday. Did your family get together for Mother's Day to celebrate your mother?
They wanted to. I actually got in a huge fight on Mother's Day with all my sisters because they wanted to be here. And I was fighting with them not to be here. And then one of them showed up. And then my stepbrother showed up. And I was like, you know what? Fuck y'all. And I, like, left the group chat. And I'm just, like, over it. Because it's, like, they're really being inconsiderate of me. Like, I have asthma. You know, I have, you know, hypertension. And like, that makes me, you know, at risk for this thing. That means if I get it, like, there's a higher chance that I am going to fucking die. And I've explained this to them millions of times, and it does not compute. Or if it does compute, it means that they, like, weigh their options, and they're like, oh, you know, I need to see my family more than Ruben needs to live. Like, literally, like, that is the math they do in their fucking heads. And so it's been really infuriating. It's been but it's also been really fucking grounding because, like, I didn't talk to my family for a very long time. And then 2 years ago, I decided to help my mom pay her fucking rent because my stepbrother, who used to live with her, like, they had a falling out because he started family with somebody. And so I decided to come help my mom with rent. But this whole experience in the last 2 years have taught me, like, you can't help people that are, like, abusive towards you. Like, it's not fucking healthy. And so, like, this is just, like, the final nail of, like, the coffin of me, like, associating with my family. Like, teenage Ruben had it right when, you know, when they left their house and, like, never looked back for a long time. So it's brought, this whole coronavirus thing has really brought up, and quarantine thing has brought up a lot of, like, buried trauma for me. Because it's shown me that, like, my family does not care about my well-being. Like, straight up, like, there's no way around that fact. They just don't care about my well-being. And so what that means for me is that, like, I have to stop considering them in everything I do, like I have been doing for the last 2 years. It also means that, like, I need to separate myself as soon as possible, which I'm going to do hopefully at the end of summer. when school starts. Because I got into grad school.
Yay! Congrats, so, yeah. By the way. I don't know. Have we mentioned it on here? I don't know. I know, but
I don't know. It's been such a wild ride. Yes. But yeah, I got into grad school.
Yay!
I'll be living in Portland with my white husbands.
Husbands, plural. Exciting. That is exciting. And co-op. I'm very happy. And so you're just, after when school starts, you're just out.
I'm just out, girl. I can't. Like, it's been such, I feel like the anxiety that they're giving me is probably worse than everything else. Because it's like, it's seeing people that are supposed to love you, like, not give a fuck about your health. Like, in real time. Like, and, like, I don't even feel safe, like, you know, in my own house, like, touching the light switches and the water, you know, faucets and all that. Like, I feel like I have to wipe everything down. And luckily, like, my bitch ass is always, like, has always been, like, super, like, germophobic. So I had stocked up on bleach wipes and sanitizer, like, months before the pandemic started. So luckily, I've had, like, materials left over from, like, January, December that have lasted me. Because if not, I don't know what I would do, right? Because they're not even available. You can't even buy bleach wipes or sanitizer or fucking hand soap in a lot of places. So shout out to like Ruben of like December 2019.
That's how I felt too. Like when everything started, I'm like, I'm good. I have to have like bleach wipes. And I have like one in my car, I have one in my room. Like we have them everywhere. But I was like, I need to order some more. And there's like none. Like on the when I was ordering stuff off of Walmart, there was like zero. I'm like, why? Like, did you bitches, like, this is the first time you buy bleach wipes and soap and the first time you wash your hands? Because that's what it seemed like when people.
It is. Oh my God. Like, that reminds me. You remember how just like either like late 2019 or early 2020, white people were all talking about like, I don't wash my legs or I don't wash my hands and all
and
this
they don't
shit,
wash and their face.
And all of a sudden, coronavirus.
They were saying, some of them were talking about what was the one about?
Oh, the pool when you go
swimming.
In the pool.
Yeah, swimming. Yeah, that they don't shower or something, or that's a shower for them. They are sick. I'm like, they're sick. They're like washing hands. What a concept.
Yeah, showering. What a concept. After spending all day in a pee infested pool.
Washing my legs, but when I wore pants, I didn't get in a mud fight. Oh, well, I did, but that's okay. but anyway, yeah, my sister came over, too, for Mother's Day, and I'm just, like, I was, like, in my room, and I woke up, and, like, no, like, it was silent, and I was, like, where's everybody at? Well, I mean, like, Luca was in here, but I was, like, where's my mom and my stepdad? And then I went, like, I opened the door to the backyard, and there they are, my sister. And my niece, and she brought my baby nephew, who's a few months old, and I'm just like, okay. Like, I didn't even, like, I just stayed in my room, but I just, it's hard, because I can't be like, get the fuck out of my house, because, like, that's not up to me, you know? I can't, my mom, I'm gonna put my mom on blast here for a second, she had this lady come over to cut her hair.
Oh my God.
Her and the neighbor.
My little?
The neighbor came over, and some lady came to cut their hair, and I was like, are you serious right now? And she's like, we're going to do it outside. And so the lady cut, and it looked the same. Like, I can't. And it's like, it's hard, because I can't be like, no. You know? Like, I can't kick somebody. Like, I'm just like, I'm going to be in my room. Thank you. God. But anyway, anyway, for Mother's Day, though, for me, I stayed in my room, and my dear friend, got in, did bring me pho, and that was really sweet of her. And, yeah, so it was nice for me. For me, I was alone, and I didn't obviously do anything, but it was nice, you know, to be alone and eat pho. I'm a pho bitch, you know me. But anyway, quarantine has brought up a lot of feelings for me too, a lot of trauma, and it's how do I explain it? I think for me as a mom now, like, it's like two separate sense of, like, I don't know if it makes sense. Like, it's, like, my trauma with, like, I have, like, a lot of birth trauma, and then I have, like, that kind of spills out everywhere into, like, my, like, the ways that I parent, and then trauma from my mother as a child and also as an adult that is, like, separate but also not, because it ties into how I parent. And so, like, it's been a lot. I think that during this quarantine, it hasn't necessarily been me versus my mom, or, like, you know, where I feel like I've talked about it on this episode before. One of the reasons I had moved out a year or two ago was because I just couldn't live in this house anymore with my mom being so toxic with me. But since I moved back and during this quarantine, she really hasn't. I mean, other than her breaking quarantine and doing this shit, other than that, me and her haven't really been, like, fighting like we usually do, or been, you know, at heads with each other. It's mostly just been me and Luca, and, like, and I'm sure, like, a lot of parents, and especially a lot of moms and single parents, single moms, like, feel the weight of this quarantine, whether it's, like, a financial impact, right, whether it's, like, you just at home with your kid or kids, like, 24/7, like, it's a lot. And I've seen, like, all these posts and tweets where people are like, you're like, all these parents hate their kids, or, like, they don't want to see their kids, or, like, too bad, like, you know, it's always like a jab at single moms where they're like, oh, well, you can't take him to your grandma's now. And I was like, this, like, notion that, like, because you don't want to be around your kid 24/7, it makes you, like, a terrible parent. And not just, like, right now, just, like, in general, right? But it's, like, no. Like, it's not normal to be in a space with someone 24/7, whether it's, like, your own child or your partner or your parents. Like, that's not supposed to be a thing. So if you're feeling, like, you know, all, like, anxious or, like, stressed, like, it's not that you're a terrible parent or a terrible partner or a terrible friend, right? Like, it's just not, like, that's not a thing that we're supposed to be like, oh yeah, 24/7, like, this is a test of our, or of how great we are as mothers. And I just hate that, but it's been very stressful. But for me, it's been, like, kind of challenging me and, like, opening my eyes to, like, how I'm abusive or things that I do are abusive. And then I think recently, like, 2 weeks ago, I've had, like, all these breakdowns because I've been, like, I mean, as, like, the quarantine has, like, progressed, it's gotten, like, at first I was, like, when I quit my job, I was, like, sad, but it was kind of, like, well, now I get to spend time with Luca, and now, you know, that 1 month after, like, you quit your job, or, like, you're at home, and you're, like, I have this free time, and it feels good, and I sleep in, and I do whatever I want, and then you're kind of, like, okay, it starts setting in. So I'm, like, at that point, I think, where I'm just, like, not only am I, like, depressed, but then on top of that, like, I've been having, like, I don't know what to call them. If you were to ask me, like, 2 weeks ago, I would tell you that Luca, that his behavior was, like, out of control, and he's, like, angry all the time, and irritable, and yelling at me, or hitting me, like, all of these things, which are true, that he has done. But I think reflecting on, like, why is my child doing this, and why is he acting this way? And it's, like, because of me. Because I've been very angry for no reason, like, during the whole thing, but, like, recently, like, I've just been, like, mad and irritated and stressed. And I kind of realized, like, how my attitude has, like, affected him. Unknowingly, right? I'm mad, so he picks up on the fact that I'm mad because of my tone, right? Like, sometimes my tone is intentional because I'm upset with him, and then sometimes it's unintentional. That's just, like, a problem that I have, not just with him, just with everyone, that I need to work on. But if I'm angry for no reason, and I'm irritable, and I take it out on him, whether that's, like, by speaking in this, like, tone, or by dismissing him, or by not giving him enough attention, et cetera, then of course he's going to give me that back. He's going to give me back, like, the same energy. He's going to be angry. He's going to be upset. And, like, the only way that he feels that he can get my attention is by throwing things or by yelling, right? So this is just like one example. But it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like just seeing it in that light of like, it's not my child, it's like me that I need to like work on myself. I need to work on just me so that my son will be like a much healthier and happier person instead of like blaming him for those actions. And I think that's just with parenting in general. We tend to say like, my child is doing this, like my child is acting out, my child is et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, well, like, what are we doing that's causing that? Right? Like, or what are we not doing for them? That's because it's like the root of the problem. It's not like your child is doing this and doing that and misbehaving. It's like, why? Like, why are they acting this way? And it just, anyway, going to my next topic, it kind of brings me to like child abuse, right? And there's like a lot of different things that would fall into abuse. I think when people think of child abuse, it's like that you're literally torturing a child in like a very violent way, and that it's only physical. Like, we don't really tend to think of the emotional abuse that we put on children, mental abuse. And so I don't know where I was going with that. I'm sorry. So for me, I think I've
What do you consider like the mental abuse?
I guess
like what I think the physical abuse is easy to like understand for most people, but I feel like mental and emotional, like parents, like you called yourself abusive at the beginning of this part of the podcast, as you were beginning this portion, but like most people would be like, abusive how? And then I think once you start naming the things, then people are like, oh shit.
I think there's a difference in calling someone like, and I call myself abusive, but there's a difference in, I think, in being like, you're an abuser and then doing things that are abusive. So I would say, you know, I take that back. Like, I'm not an abuser, but I do things that are and can be abusive, right? And I was going to say, like, I don't hit my child, and I'm always talk about like how people shouldn't hit children, even parents, especially parents, because I think parents, you know, we think we own children and they need discipline and it's our job to do it, and really it's because we see them as property and they belong to us. So like, I get like, when we really sit down and think about people hitting children, like, it is wild. Like, to think me, an adult woman, spanking a child, a little child, for, you know, something so, because usually when our parents would like hit us, right? Because I'm sure a lot of us, like our parents hit us, like when I think back of like when I would get hit, it was like for the most little thing that I'm just like, why? Like, why was that like your response to like get a belt and hit me when I was 8 years old, right? As an adult, like, no one should hit anyone, right? Unless, like, obviously you get hit first, because it's not that I don't believe in violence, right? Like, if we're fighting Nazis, we're going to fight with violence. But this is, like, a totally different thing. Like, you just don't hit children. And I think people think of child abuse, again, as, like, very violent and, like, torture and, like, these awful stories that we hear. And so when they're like, well, I spank my child, but I'm not, you know, making them bleed, or I'm not doing this extreme thing, so it's okay. Like, no, it's, none of it is okay, whether it's just like a little, oh, you didn't make me bleed, or I didn't hit you until you cry. Like, no physical punishment is okay, right? And so like, I pride myself, I don't know if pride is the right word, but I don't hit my child. And I think a lot of, like, let's say a lot of people don't, right? But that doesn't mean that we still cannot do abusive things. And I think that's where a lot of people stop at. And I've had to push past that, because I'm like, well, I don't hit my child, so, like, my work here is done kind of mentality, right? And so, like, it's still, like, what other kind of abusive things can you be doing? And I think, for example, for my, you know, my mom to me, I think, and I don't know how to word them, but I think emotionally abusive is gaslighting for sure. And especially as a child, I think it's easier to do, and easier to also manipulate children into doing what you want to do, into telling that children will, this is the thing about children, like, children, yes, they have their own thoughts and their own opinions, and they're, you know, they're their own people, but they will latch on to anything that you tell them, right? Because first and foremost, because they're children, and mostly because you're their parent, there's someone that you trust. They're like, when I was little, I listened to like anything that my mom told me, like I believed it. Like she could tell me anything and I believed her because she's my mom. Like, and if someone were to be like, no, that's not right, I would be like, no, my mom said it was right. So they're like, we influence the way that our children, and I think a lot of parents use it to their advantage, right? To manipulate children into thinking one way or doing certain things that they don't want to do. And I think for me, it's always been criticalness. My mom's always been very, very, very critical of everything that I do and still is. And that's very hard, I think, on a child as well, saying like, you, no matter what you do, it's never going to be good enough. And that's like abusive because it's fucking with like your self-esteem and like your self-worth and feeling like you're not worthy of praise or love. I think just kind of putting children down, and I think people don't really see that, right? Because I think also a lot of parents think, well, I'm critical of my child, or I tell them this because I love them. Just like the way we say that we hit children because we love them. After like our parents would hit us, like majority of the time they would be like, or when they would hit us, they'd say, I'm doing this because I love you. Or like, it hurts me more than it hurts you. It's like, no, I don't think so. and then we go into like, we're raising children to conflate abuse with love. Because right after we hit our children, or we say something mean to them, or we manipulate them, or put them down in one way or another, we turn around and cuddle with them. And we turn around and say, I love you. Whether that's like, in that way, or like, I know for me, like a lot of immigrant parents don't even do that. They'll just, it's like their own little way of saying sorry. Like they'll bring food to your room and that's like a peace offering, or they're like, come eat. And you know that that's their way of saying, sorry, but not even I'm sorry, kind of just like it happened. You know what I mean? And so it's never really talked about, but that's another thing that I try to, you know, the way that I talk to my son in like this tone, or like dismiss him, and then I turn around and I'm like, I love you. And I catch myself doing that because I'm like, what does that say about me? Or what is Luca going to think? Like, it's okay for my mom to talk to me in this way and then turn around and say, I love you. And that that was something that I was reading, and there's this quote by bell hooks that I'm going to say right now, which is, abused children have been taught that love can coexist with abuse. This shapes our adult perceptions of love, as we would cling to the notion that those who hurt us as children loved us. We rationalize being hurt by other adults by insisting that they love us. So it's not just like our parents, but it's like how it shapes us as adults, right? And that's why a lot of us conflate abuse with love, because when we're children, again, we're like abused in like different ways, and then our parents turn around and say they love us, or they say that it is because I love you, like I do this abusive thing because I love you. And then not only do we allow people to abuse us, like we also do these abusive things, and we think that it's love, and we think that it's okay to do those things. So it's just like this cycle that happens. But that's like, and that was a lot, but that's what's been happening with me, I think, quarantine. That's like been coming up. I think for me, just like reflecting on the ways that I replicate abuse, or that I have replicated it from my mother and her mother, because my mother's mom, she did the same things. And I remember being little and my mom, you know, like always crying and saying that her mom never showed her love, and that she actually thought she was like adopted at one point, because, you know, this is like a very emotional conversation, obviously, but it's just like a cycle. And I think for us as mothers or parents, like, we need to break it
for our children and for, like, the children that are children, but, like, the people that our children are and that they're going to grow up to be and, like, their children. And if they don't have children, then just, I think people forget, like, when we think about raising children, we're like, I want my child to be, you know, grow up and be this and that. And we don't, and it's just, like, not just our children. It's, like, everyone in society. This is why, like, our society's left up. Right? And it sounds, like, so basic to say that, but it really does start, like, in our homes, like, with our children and, like, how we raise them and, like, the love that we teach them and how we teach them love and how we teach them or don't teach them to be empathetic and, like, all of these things. Because I think it's also, like, this very basic concept of parenting that it's, like, you raise them to be nice and you raise them to be good and you raise them to accept others and all this basic bullshit. But it's, like, what, like, what are we actually, how are we raising our children when we can't, we haven't raised ourselves, like, we haven't done any self-reflection or accountability or even thought of it. Like, we just kind of assume that we're good parents because we don't do X, Y, and Z, or we are good parents because we do this one thing, and we don't really take a look at ourselves. And so it just continues this cycle of not just abuse, but the cycle of, like, not feeling loved and, like, not understanding what love is and not being able to give love to other people. So, I'm sorry, that was a long rant. Ruben?
Not fine. I don't know. I think a lot of what you mentioned is kind of, like, my hesitation with, like, starting families. Is that, like, I feel like I still have to handle so much shit. Like deprogram and things like that. That, like, I want to make sure that if I ever start a family, that it's going to be, like, one wherein I'm not passing on, like, you know, this familial trauma, this ancestral pain. Because there's a lot. Like, there's a lot. You know, Mother's Day for me is always very heavy. You know, when I came out, my mom was very violent towards me. And she tries to erase that. We had a fight about it last year. She tries to erase the fact of, like, how homophobic and transphobic she was with me growing up, and then specifically when I came out. Like, my mother, like, she needed to be pushed down so that she wouldn't, like, stab me, essentially, when I came out. And so, Mother's Day, Mother's Day's heavy. And I always think about how my older sister took on a lot of, like, pain, and she took on a lot of hurt and a lot of responsibilities for my mother, who didn't know how to be a mother, right? And so a lot of this is, like, holding space for your parents because, like, yeah, they're human, blah, blah, blah. Like, I hate that every time I talk about, like, the trauma that my mom caused us, like, people are like, well, your parents, you know, they're human too. And I'm like, yes, bitch, they're human. Yes, that's fine. But that they're still humans who, like, hurt and who and abused others, right? That doesn't, their trauma does not excuse the trauma they caused on others, right? Because if not, then we would be, everybody would be out here hurting everybody, right? Because we all been hurting, right? But, like, for me, like, I try to not hurt people. I try to not, like, I try to acknowledge, like, okay, where, if I have, like, a negative thought, I'm like, where is this coming from? You know, why is this happening? Blah, blah, blah. And so the fact, and I get that I have more capacities now, but sometimes our parents are just fucking stubborn. Like, I started really heavy therapy. I was in really intensive therapy last January till, like, June, July-ish, August of 2019. And in this process, like, I try to get my mom involved. I was like, you know, come to therapy with me, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'll pay for your therapy, whatever you need. And she refused, like, straight up. And this is not the first time. When I first came out, well, as I was building to the process of coming out, I had talked to my school psychologist in high school, and they had tried to get my mom in to, like, try to, like, you know, pad the situation, but my mom, like, refused to meet with the school psychologist, like, which was free at the time, right? Like, and it was just a matter of, like, A, like, the stigma of visiting, like, a therapist, right? And B, just, like, not wanting to show your child that, you know, that you're not as strong or as, you know, as invincible as they, as parents often feel like they have to present themselves, right? But when it comes to my mother, like, she just caused so much pain and she's, like, not sorry for any of it. And one of the reasons I moved back home, because I get that question a lot. Like, I get the question of, like, how did you... When I talk about my story, right? Because my activist journey, like, is inseparable from the way that I left the family unit, right? Like, I became, quote-unquote, or I started doing activism, quote-unquote, because I was forced to live with... Or like, forced to make community with a bunch of queer and trans people of color, right? And who had my back, and we all lived together, and we were all broke as shit, and then we all looked out for one another, and that happened because most of us were kicked out of our home, right? And so... Or we didn't have good relationship with our parents. And so when I talk about my story and people are like, oh, what's the relationship with your parents now? And it's like, well, I tried to heal it, but it's just not... healing has to be a two-way street. Otherwise, you need to peace out, right? And so for me, I'm coming to the point again. One of the last lessons that my therapist told me, shared with me, and that I shared on Twitter and Instagram, and people, a lot of people related to it, is like, you know, sometimes our parents don't want to heal. It's just not in their programming. It's not something that they want to subject themselves to. And it can be more hurtful to stay and try and struggle with them to heal than it is to just peace out. Than it is to just say, like, this is not my battle, right? It's hard, but at one point you have to tell yourself, as like a child that's trying to like heal, you have to tell yourself, like, your healing can depend on someone else to also want to embark on this journey with you. Like, otherwise you're going to be waiting forever, right? And next thing you know, your life is over and you're still dealing with all that fucking trauma, right? So that's something that is taking me a while to learn, but that I've had to stick to in order to begin this next phase of my life, because I can't be living like, you know, the few years of youth I got left, like, thinking about, like, you know, why my mother won't heal, or why my family refuses to you know, love me in the way that I need to be loved, right? In the way, and care and heal. Because otherwise I'm going to be waiting forever. And shit, with this coronavirus shit, I might not be, and I might not have forever, right? Especially the way that they're showing currently, that they don't give a fuck about my health.
I saw that tweet and I related to it too. I don't think that I've never said any of this to my mother. Like, and I don't think... right now, at least, that I ever will. And that's how much of, like, a, I don't know if it's fear. There's a lot that I don't say to my mother. And that is, like, a reflection, indication of, like, our relationship and how we grew up, because it was, like, based on her critiquing me and also a fear. And so I think even sometimes I try to tell her things, and it's still like she still finds some way to find like a critique where I'm like, I'm gonna, you know, share this with my mom, because I feel like even if it's something that I'm just like, I don't even care about, but I feel like it's of her interest, or like she's gonna think it's cool, or she's gonna think, or she's gonna be proud of me because I did this thing, like it, she still finds a way to shut it down. And you know, I obviously have a lot of trauma from it and a lot of feelings about it, but I still, even now that I'm like 31 years old and I'm a mother myself, I don't feel like I will ever say this to her. And that's shitty. But I think for me, you know, sometimes I do think like maybe that's never going to happen. And maybe that's just something that I have to accept, right? That, what was the tweet? I'm sorry, Ruben. That it was kind of like, you kind of have to accept that your mother might never apologize and never, that is just never going to happen, and you have to, like, learn to accept to be okay with that, you know? And I think now that I'm a mother, especially, I've moved on. Not like I've moved on, but I think like my goal now is to not have that relationship with my son, because I do, you know, I do things where I'm just like, I'm like, I'm my mom right now, and I hate that. And I don't want my son to fear me. I don't want my son to ever feel like he can't tell me anything, especially when I'm hurting him, you know what I mean? And that's the relationship that I want to have with my child. I don't want my child to grow up and resent me and hate me and feel like we talk on like a surface level, but that's it. Because that's the relationship I have with my mom. Like, it's like some surface thing. It's never going to go any more deeper than that. And it's shitty, but that's the reality. And yes, my mom has a lot of trauma, not just, you know, her relationship with her mom, just I think a lot of trauma from just life. But yeah, like you said, it's not an excuse. I think hurt people, and until we break the cycle, like the way that we break cycles is by healing ourselves. Because like, yes, healing is a two-way street, but if we can make peace with ourselves, or make peace that that person is not willing to heal and that that person's not going to come to the table, and make peace with that so that we can move on and not be stuck in this place of them holding us there, then we can move on. And if we have children, for those of us that do, that we can actually try to break that cycle. Because I'm not saying like I'm going to break it. Like, I could fuck up and not break it at all. And that's terrifying. I think trying, right? And like putting ourselves out there, and it's fucking hard. And not just with parenting, like just healing and whatever we're trying to heal from is fucking hard, but I think with parenting it's like this whole other thing, because it really is like healing, or what is it, that term, like parenting ourselves. Like the way that we parent our children is like they're like a reflection of us, and so the way that we act towards them, the way that we talk to them, the way that we view them is how we view ourselves, is how people treated us, is like our flaws that they are replicating. And so, yeah, parenting means you have to like own your shit, and you have to be able to undo things. Because I, for example, another thing, we're talking about emotional abuse, like emotional abuse, a lot of it is yelling, right? Because like, I think a lot of people, you know, for those of us that don't hit our children, right, we're like, well, we don't hit them, but we yell, right? And we think yelling is like okay, because it's not like this physical thing. But it's like, could you imagine like if your partner were to yell at you, like every time you did something wrong that they deemed wrong, or every time they were upset, they would just yell at you and be like, what are you doing? Or like, that is abusive, right? Like the way that we think of domestic violence, for example, should be that should be applied to our children. Because if we think that it's not okay as domestic violence, like towards a woman, or like partner and partner, right, like an intimate thing, then why is it acceptable to do it to children? And so I've yelled at Luca because I'm stressed, again, because I'm angry, because I'm frustrated. And so I yell, and then he starts yelling back at me. And then we're just like we're like, at one point the other day, we're just yelling at each other. And I was like, what is happening right now? Like, what am I doing? Right? Like, this isn't him. This is like me. Like, what am I doing? And like, yelling is like a form of emotional abuse. If you're not yelling at them, you're yelling at someone else in the house, and so all they hear is yelling. Like if a child is in a space where there's a lot of abuse that's not happening towards them, that's still like an abusive situation, because all they're seeing is like abuse around them. Obviously, like I mentioned, like putting children down, dismissing children. I was telling Luca's grandma the other day, because we had this conversation, which felt good, because me and her also have like had this rocky relationship, and now we're like also better about it. But the other day, a while ago actually, he was telling me a story, but I like telling him like, we're gonna go eat breakfast, and he kept trying to like talk to me about something, and I kept kind of cutting him off, like to be like, okay, like let's go eat breakfast, I told you we're going to eat breakfast. And he stopped, and he's like don't do that to me.
And it, like, took me by surprise, because I was like, usually before that, I think his, like, reaction is, like, anger. So him telling me, like, don't do that to me, it took me aback, and, like, it made me feel like such a shitty parent. And I realized, like, you know, he's trying to talk to me, like, he's trying to tell me something, and I'm just, like, dismissing him and making him feel like what he's saying is not important, even if it's just, like, you know, whatever he was talking about, like, some story, you know, and, like, I could tell he was really hurt that I did. But at the same time, I was so, like, I don't know what the word is, like, I felt so good for him. I don't explain it, that he had the confidence to, like, tell me, you know what I mean? Like, that he felt okay or, like, comfortable enough to say that to me, that I was hurting him in this way. And also that he had, like, the confidence to say that, because I think if a lot of us as adults aren't able to tell people that they're hurting us because we're, you know, like, we don't like confrontation, or we're not bold enough, or I don't know what the word is, like, to tell other adults that we're being hurt. Like, as a child, it's very hard for children to tell you, especially, like, an authority or, like, a parent, that you're hurting them. Like, it's a hard thing to do. Like, I'm 31 and I still can't tell my mom that. So for him to, like, actually tell me that, like, it made me feel like a terrible parent, but it also made me feel like, again, I don't know the word, but it made me feel good, you know, I don't know if good is the right word, but you know what I'm saying, right, Ruben? Like, I appreciated that, and I don't know if that's a word either, and I don't know. I just felt like I fucked up, but I feel like I might be doing something right if he feels like he can tell me that I did this shitty thing. And he does now, more. Like, when I'm doing something, like, he'll be like, you're hurting me. And that's, like, humbling, and I feel like I've just, like, been crying over, like, this whole conversation, but I've just been very emotional about a lot of things. But also, I don't know where I was going though. Just that I've been crying a lot. So I apologize. But, yeah, oh yeah, what I was going to say is, like, I'm crying right now, and I'm like, oh, I'm a terrible parent, and I think that a lot of times, too, I don't want to get, I think we shouldn't get stuck on, like, feeling sorry for ourselves, like, oh, I'm a terrible parent, and I did this, and so I'm gonna cry and be in my feelings. Like, I think it's normal, right, because you hurt your child, but I also think that we shouldn't center ourselves that much, right, because then it's, like, our child's job to comfort us and tell us, like, it's okay, mom, like, you didn't mean to do, like, when it's, you know, like, I made sure not to, like, react emotionally in front of him. Like, I apologized, and I said it, like, that won't happen again. And then if I, you know, if that happens, like, I feel like we need to go to another room and, like, cry about it at another room, but not make this thing where our children also have to apologize for our feelings. But also, at the same time, that it is okay to feel like a terrible parent, and that we're going to feel like shitty parents a lot, because we're going to fuck up a lot, because we're not perfect. And I think for me, that example was just, like, I'm going to fuck up, and I fucked up, and I'm probably going to fuck up every day, but I still want to be able to raise a child that doesn't fear me, and that is still able to tell, not just me, anybody, that he's being hurt, and that's not okay.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I'm not a parent, but I'm a human, and I know that it's, like, difficult to share when we're, like, harmful, right? And especially with kids, I feel like it's taboo to admit you're a bad parent. Or, like, not that you're a bad parent, but that you've, you know, you've messed up, right?
Definitely. And I think, especially, because I get, you know, like, all these comments online where people are like, you're such a good mom, or, like, you love, you know, I love how you always talk about children and children rights and child abuse and all this stuff. And sometimes I do feel like when I'm a shitty parent, like, that I'm, like, a fraud. You know what I mean? Like, and I think not just with parenting, I think, like, we all feel that way, like, especially, like, in these circles, like, oh, you always talk about, you know, whatever topic, but then also you did this abusive thing, and then we feel like we're not worthy to like ever talk about this thing ever again, because I feel that way a lot in a lot of different instances, but with parenting specifically, like, I don't want people to think, like, because you're a child advocate, that you're this perfect parent, and that you can't also be abusive, and you can't also fuck up, and I think we should talk about it more, because it wouldn't feel so lonely, right? Like, I'm talking about it now, and it's hard putting all my shit out here, because this is a fucking podcast that people are gonna hear, and I'm, like, crying all over the place, and it's hard being vulnerable, especially about this, but I think it is necessary, and it should be normalized as a part of parenting, right? Like, I think this concept that we think we are perfect parents, or that we're all quote-unquote good, and, like, we're not, and that's okay. I think a lot of the times that our parents are parents and our parents are abusive is, yes, because they're hurt, and they're also just replicating what they know, but it's, like, when do people actually talk about parenting? Like, who, like, don't get me wrong, there are people that talk about parenting, and there's parenting books, and there's parenting classes, etc., but it's not normalized. It's, like, this thing, this huge thing that's a part of everyone's lives, but it's never talked about, really. That, like, it should be normalized to take parenting classes, to take nonviolent parenting classes, to read books, to go to therapy before you have a child, or during, or after, or to go to therapy with your child. Like, those things should be normalized, and they're not. It's kind of just like, you had a kid, congratulations, whatever you do with them, like, cool. But then, like, when said kid does something, everyone's like, where was the mom? Or, like, what shitty parents? And it's like, what support are you giving to parents? Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to, like, shift blame from parents, but it's also, like, what support or, like, normalization of these conversations are you allowing parents to have without judging them, right? Because I think people that follow me probably hit their kids, right? And I don't think that because you hit your kid, you're a terrible parent or a terrible person, right? Of course, like let's just say you see your child, right? Like, I still think that's not okay. Do I think you're a terrible person? I don't think you're a terrible person, but I think that the goal is to have these conversations and tell people why it's not okay. And then once you know that it's not okay and you keep doing it, then yeah, I think you're a shitty person. But I think that's just what we know. That's just what's been taught to us. Like, when I was talking to my son's grandma, I told her, you know, my natural reaction is to yell. That's just like me as a person. That's just like what's been taught to me because my mom's a yeller. And it's like, that's just our natural response. And if you got hit as a kid or you think that that's normal, that's your natural response. That's just going to take over. Like, that's the way you think people should be disciplined because that's the way it was done to you, right? So that's just your natural response. And so it's like breaking, like, I don't want to call it a habit, but it's like undoing it. It's hard. It sounds easy, but it's not, because I yell and I want to yell, and it's hard to be like, how? And also, I'm a very impatient, I'm just a fucking impatient person, and I have to like teach myself how to be patient, and I have to break all of these fucking things, and it's just a lot. So I would appreciate, we should just start a hashtag of like all the shitty times that we're bad parents, not to celebrate it, but just as a normalization, or like what we're going to do to be better and what we learned in that moment, etc. But yeah, also sidetracking, April was Child Abuse Awareness Month, but take this also as a Mother's Day / Child Abuse Awareness Month that happened in April. And even if you're not parents, I'm pretty sure a lot of us have like a niece or a nephew or a cousin, just any kid, not any kid, whether you're a teacher, a daycare worker, like, we all know children. I don't know if that sounds weird, but it's like, you're not a parent, but you can also, I mean, these things still apply to you and the way that you interact with children, and like seeing them as like a person, because we have the ability to, if we're not parents, or even if we are parents and we have access to like not access, that sounds weird. Like, we know other children in our lives, like, we can be that person that shows them love or listens to them, right? Or, like, someone that they can confide in. And that's why I hate when people, for a lot of reasons, when people say they hate children. Because if we just constantly say we hate children and don't want to deal with them and just kind of wish that we were left alone in our own space and we didn't have to interact with them or see them even, like, out in public, it's like, why? Like, I just don't understand this, like, whole notion of hating children. But if we didn't hate children and instead we learned to, like, see them as, like, a vulnerable, if not the most vulnerable group in our society, like, we would be able to change at least one child's life, and even if it's just, like, for a moment. Yeah, and of course if, you know, someone that's, and this is the thing, like, I was going to say, you know, obviously if you see child abuse interfere or do something, it's not that easy, as we see with, like, domestic violence, but again, like, we can be just, like, a person to a child that's, like, a safe haven or comfort or someone that's their friend, and maybe we know people that are abusive, and maybe they're just abusive people, but maybe they're just people that do abusive things, and they can get therapy, and they can change, but we just need to kind of stop seeing children as, like, if we don't have them, they're kind of, like, out of sight, out of mind, and we don't have to deal with them, and we hate them, and parents as, like, you chose to have children, so that's not, that has nothing to do with me, and kind of separating ourselves from parents and from children, and kind of just start seeing children again as, like, people, and as a marginalized group, and kind of seeing parents as people who do fucking need support, and you didn't tell me to have a child, and maybe you think that that's none of your fucking business, but if we're talking about community, I think that that's something that needs to be included, I don't know, in conversations and spaces.
Yeah. Do you have any suggestions for how to, like, how to begin those conversations, or?
So I'm telling people to do, you know, like, do something, like, support parents, or befriend a child. Yeah. The way that I'm wording this whole thing sounds so terrible. I'm like, access to children, be friends with a child. obviously, I hope you all understand what I mean by that. I'm not saying, like, go to a park and start hanging out with children, because that's not appropriate. But I think just if you're interact with children, again, whether that's your niece, nephew, your cousin, your neighbor, like, building friendships with children, like, is not a weird thing. Like, saying, like, a child, being a friendly with a child is not a weird thing, and, like, it's not like they're your drinking buddy, of course, or you're gonna have these deep conversations with them, but there's still, like, people that want to interact with other people, right? So I think building trust with children is a big thing, because they're not just gonna, if children are being abused, they're not gonna go up to you and be like, oh, my, you know, I'm being abused. And a lot of the times these children, again, it's, like, not just physical, it's emotional, where they think they deserve the abuse, and they think because they acted bad or they did this thing, that it's normal for their parents to abuse them, right? And that no one is going to come to their rescue, you know? So it's not like a kid's going to come up to you and tell you that, but it's like, if they have trust in you, if they confide in you, then they will, they'll probably mention it. Or if they know that it's wrong, they'll have more confidence due to that. But of course, again, it's not like they're going to, you know, I'm not saying that that's, like, the solution, and it's like, you're going to befriend a child and they're going to tell you if they're being abused. But with, if you know parents, and I always talk about, like, supporting parents, especially, like, single moms, it's like taking care of their children, right? And a lot of us aren't necessarily going to be like, yeah, come over, you know, especially if we don't know you that well. But I'm talking about, like, your friends. I'm talking about, like, your siblings or people that you know online that are your friends that you know have children, right? A lot of us do need people to watch our children, but also not just to, like, watch them because daycare is fucking expensive, but also just to, like, fucking go out, even if it's just, like, for 2 hours. Just, like, watch my children for 2 fucking hours so I can go get my hair done. I mean, not fucking right now, obviously, but you know what I mean? It's like hard to have this conversation right now because we're all in quarantine, but that's just like one little fucking thing that you can do for 2 hours for your friend that has a child. In quarantine, like fucking FaceTime your kid. I mean, FaceTime your friend that has a kid and talk to their kid on FaceTime. Sorry, this is coming out wrong. Like,
no, I just remember like there's been like lives where it's like y'all look over my like look look over my child while I go.
Like, you know, I hate that. Yeah, there's like these live videos where people are like turn on live on Facebook and they're like watch my children and then they like leave and it's just like these two little kids and then like people are like commenting on the live stream and they're like stop touching that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. I go on Chicanismo live. I'm like, can y'all watch Luca for me? Thank you. But just like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It's just like I'm a parent. For me, like as a mom, I think I have friends. I have friends, but most of the time, like I don't have mom friends. Like I don't have people that are friends with me that have kids that know what it's like. It's kind of like lonely in this other way. Because I'm like, I talk to my friends about like these feelings that I have, but they're not gonna, I feel like they don't really want to listen to it all the time or like they don't understand, you know what I mean? Like, of course they're empathetic or like they're sympathetic to me, but it's different, right? If you're not a parent. And even if they're not parents, like it feels good to like tell them about these things. Cause it's like, I'm not gonna go on Facebook and I mean, I just laid this whole shit out on this podcast, but I wouldn't necessarily go on Facebook and start ranting about all of these feelings. I mean, I might, but it's like not the same as saying it to your friend and being able to give your friend that space to say those things to you. And just checking in on your friends that are parents, because we're lonely out here. All we do is like, these are our eternal like struggles that we have with ourselves and then with our children. And it's stressful. And a lot of times we're, like, forgotten about because we are, like, the mom friends. So it's kind of like, oh, well, like, I'm going to invite them to brunch. And that's about it because they're a mom. So they have a kid. I don't really want the kid around. And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Picking up groceries, especially right now for people that are parents, like, that's a huge thing. Like, I saw a lot of posts about, you know, don't bring your children to Walmart. And it's like, well, a lot of mom, like single parents can't really leave their kid at home while they go grocery shopping. But it would be cool if one of their friends did it for them or offered. I don't know. I mean, it's very like, these are like very basic examples of it. But I do have to say that being a mom is lonely. And it's weird to say lonely because I'm not like alone, but it's just like, I don't know, like who to talk to about a lot of these things. And I could say it right here on this podcast. I could say it online, but it's not the same as having like this personal, you know, like a personal one-on-one. And so like, I mean, I talked to Luca's grandma and me and her have like I said, a rocky relationship, but that was the person that I was able to kind of like talk to a bit. And I'm glad that I did. So yeah, I don't know if that answered any questions about where you should start with that. I'm kind of like all over the place, but you know, I don't know. I hope that this conversation at least opened people's eyes to a lot of things, even if they are a parent or they're not a parent or they're going to be a parent or they want to be. This shit is like heavy, whether it's like being a parent or our parents like fucked us up.
Oh. So with that said, did you want to end the episode and go to the dedication that we had planned for today?
So speaking of mothers, a year ago today, actually, my grandmother passed away, my dad's mom. Her name was Alicia, and I have her name, and see, this episode's just, like, me crying all the time. But, I was gonna say all this stuff about her, but I feel like y'all are tired of me crying, but
oh my god, just do it.
Maybe they all checked out.
This long.
No, I don't know what to say about grandma. Like, I miss her and I loved her and I do love her, and I adored her so much. I kind of see her as kind of raising me with my mom. I wasn't that close to my mom's mom, unfortunately. Like, of course I love my abuelita, but I was really close to my dad's mom, and I just wanted to be around her all the time. And I think now that I'm older, I see myself in her a lot, and and I always talk about astrology, but she was actually, her birthday was like 3 days before mine, so she was a Sagittarius too. And it's funny when I think about the way that I parent her, I don't know, just how me and her were very similar. And she was also very proud of her roots, which is something that I came to admire, I think, a lot about her. As I was older, I think when I was younger, I was embarrassed by it. She grew up in Segundo Barrio, which is El Paso Second Ward. And I think I took you there, Ruben, so it's kind of like downtown by the bridge, and it's a very poor neighborhood, and it's like just kind of like one of those neighborhoods in El Paso that, oh, the one that Bethel tried to demolish. But so it's just like a very poor neighborhood, Spanish-speaking immigrants, and she went to Bowie, which is like the high school there. That's like the most, you know, the forgotten high school that they keep fucking over as well. And so she was always very proud to be from Segundo, and she would always be like, Viva la Bowie! Like, and I'm like, Grandma, stop. Like she would say that anytime someone mentioned Bowie, and I would be so embarrassed. But I think as I got older, I realized, like, that she was proud. Like, and she it was also the first person I knew, like, that would say the word, like, Tejana or Chicana, when I didn't really know what those words meant. So she was just very proud of where she came from, and I think that that's also, I kind of took that on as well. She just was the best grandma. Anyway, we did want to make our song today because we did talk about mothers, and also because of my grandma, and make our song a dedication to her. Also something me and Ruben were talking about, my grandma loved oldies, like a lot of Chicanexes do. But she bought those like VHS tapes, you know, like those ads where they're like, buy these like oldies. Like, she bought them and she would play them like all the time, like just sit in her living room and like watch them over and over and over. And I think a lot of us were just like over it, like we were just like, stop. And like, her and my dad would just sit there and like, she would cry. She was a crier like me. She would cry a lot, because my grandma also had a lot of pain that I feel like she never healed from. And I think watching, you know, because the oldies are like, some of them are happy, but a lot of them are like about heartbreak and love. And I think that was like her outlet for her. So she loved oldies, and it's really hard for me to hear oldies, because then I just start crying. So it's hard to pick one song, because she loved all the, but there's one song that always reminds me of that. It's just like my song to her, and it's dedicated to The One I Love by the Shirelles. But that one is too sad. That one's like too sad. So another song that reminds me a lot of her is Maybe by the Chantels. So that's what we're going to play. And we know that this conversation was really heavy and emotional. It was, at least for me, obviously. but we wanted to have, I've actually wanted to have a Mother's Day conversation, or mothers, I don't know. So I guess this is it. And I think it was a perfect timing during quarantine too, because I think for a lot of us, not just with our parents, but the quarantine is just bringing up a lot of shit for a lot of us, I think. Whether that's just like our living situation, or like being in a house where all you have is your thoughts, and you're just thinking, and you know, I just feel like it's brought, like, I've talked to a lot of people, or it's just brought up a lot of shit. So it's hard being quarantined physically, and it's like financially and all of those things, but on top of that, it's like adding trauma to it, and it's like, it's fucked up. But I'm glad that we were able to have this conversation, and I hope that people listening, whether they're parents again, or whether they have a rocky or abusive relationship with their parents, that it, I don't know, that you connected to it. I don't want to say it healed you. Obviously, I don't think a conversation is going to heal you, but I think it's important to have these conversations and people to know that it's not just their parents that did that, and it's just not you being a shitty parent, and that you're not a shitty parent for doing this one thing, you know, that we all, I don't know, we can all heal, whether our parents don't want to. We can make peace with that, and we should. And as parents, all we can do is try to heal for our children, so that they're not like on a podcast crying about how they they can't tell us how they feel 30 years from now, so, and how we fucked them up in one way or another. So yeah, any last thoughts, Ruben?
Yeah, shout out to, you know, kids who had a parent themselves, especially mm-hmm. queer and trans kids. I feel like growing up, my mom specifically was very anti-friends. Like, you know, friends are not going to be
my mom's favorite line.
So she was, and it's funny because, like, my life turned out the opposite. It's like the only people who have been there for me have been my friends, like my older sister and my friends. And so, shout out to, you know, collectives of friends who have, you know, served as family, you know, shout out to chosen family. And shout out to everybody trying to heal. When I posted that tweet, it's at 40,000 retweets at this point, something like that. And it's like, when I posted it, it was like out of frustration and just like being, waking up on Mother's Day and just being so traumatized. Just all that shit coming to the forefront, and my family like not taking like my health into consideration and just being like triggered by all that. And I just tweeted it out, and I did not expect it to get the reaction that it did. So shout out to folks who feel like their healing is gonna have to go on without their families. And so now, like, the OG Chicanos, we are like
some oldies. Yes, of course, we're the real OGs. So I guess that's it. We're not this sad all the time, I swear. Our next episode will be a lot lighter than this one, we promise. But lighter. Thank you if you've made it this far. Sorry if we made you cry, but also not sorry, because I feel like we all need a good cry sometimes, or like to be in our feels. So here we are, and here we will remain until I don't know when. But enjoy the song. Bye. Good job.